Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, as you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. Cause the love around here is bound to make it fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Mark and will begin this series with part two of The Power of Christ Over Satan and Sickness. So let's turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 1 verse 21 as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
And so verse 21 says, then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and he taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So there was a huge difference in the teaching of Jesus and the other religious leaders of the day. He's just speaking with straight authority. He's just telling people the truth, and he's not quoting, you know, authorities of the day. He is the authority. So they're astonished at the authority that Jesus has in comparison to what they've been used to with the scribes. And so there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Now, you know, when we open the scriptures, we find ourselves stepping into a spiritual world. We find ourselves stepping into another dimension, another realm. And the scriptures speak freely of this other realm. And so for Mark here, he just records it simply. There was a man with an unclean spirit. Here was a demon-possessed man. And he comes into the synagogue, and he interrupts what's happening with this cry. He cries out, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? It's interesting how these demonic spirits, they had no question whatsoever about who Jesus was. They knew who he was. They knew he was the Son of God. What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth, Son of God? So Jesus then, he rebukes him, saying, be quiet, and commands the spirit to come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. So that same authority that he had in teaching, now he demonstrates that authority in the casting out of these demons. So as even today, you know, as God's people, we have to be aware that there are going to be times when we're dealing with people and the root of the problem is really demonic. Satan is at work. He's trying to overthrow the faith. He's trying to, you know, bring a person down. And so all of that to say, we have to keep that aspect of things in mind and realize that, you know, in some cases, what a person really needs, we need to lay hands on them and we need to pray for them. We need to pray against the work of the devil. We need to pray for deliverance, not in the sense of they're demon-possessed. I'm talking about Christians here. Not in the sense that they're demon-possessed, but that there's a heavy demonic oppression that's come upon them. And we've got to help them walk through that and encourage them and remind them that the Lord's going to bring them through that. But again, these are the things that Jesus has authority over. Jesus has authority over these things. And he sets people free, just like he's doing with this man here. So he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And immediately, so his fame now is spreading as he's demonstrating that power of God over the powers of darkness. Verse 29, now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came, took her by the hand, and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. So here again, now, Mark has just talked to us about his power over the demonic. Now he's confronted with sickness. And so here's Peter's mother-in-law, and Jesus heals her. And notice the healing is instantaneous. Jesus grabs her by the hand, pulls her up. She's instantly healed of the fever and strengthened to then engage in serving. We're told about Jesus that there was an unlimited supply of the Spirit given to Jesus. Every Christian has been given a measure of the Spirit, but Jesus was given the Spirit without measure. And of course, Jesus did things that only Jesus would do because he was given the Spirit without measure. He did things only he would do because he came into the world as the Messiah, and these things that he did were his credentials. They were the things that proved who he was. And in the early stages of the going forth of the gospel, remember Jesus said, you know, go out into the world, preach the gospel, and he said these signs will follow, and the signs were a confirmation. The miracles were a confirmation that they were giving credence to the message. So we're preaching to you about Jesus of Nazareth, and here's our credentials that what we're saying is true. The miracles were there. But as the gospel is established, as it takes root in a place, then there's not necessarily that demand for that kind of evidence. But now today, of course, we've got plenty of places where, again, the gospel hasn't been heard. So that's an ideal environment to see people go into with that, you know, apostolic kind of authority and be able to preach the word, but then also to see, you know, signs accompanying the word. And those things do happen in different places. So at evening, verse 32, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases. He cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Jesus would spend his days ministering to the people, giving out to them, the power of God going forth from them. And in order to do that, he had to have this daily connection with his Father. And so Jesus had this habit of going out very early and meeting with his Father in prayer. And you know, as we want to serve the Lord, as we hope to be ministers of the gospel, we need to realize, you know, we've got to do the same thing. We've got to do the same thing. And sometimes we think, oh, well, you know, I don't have time to do that because if I spend all my time doing that, I won't get to this other stuff that I've got to do ministry-wise. But you know, this other stuff that I've got to do ministry-wise, I will not do it as effectively if I don't first meet with the Lord. So we need to have that time. And I personally sense a great need for that in my own life. Man, I just have to get away. I have to be with the Lord. That was the whole impetus behind starting to run a little over a year ago. because that gave me a period of time without any interference where I could just seek the Lord, where I could just cry out to him and have that encounter with him. You know, for me personally, and everybody's different, but if I try to do that at home, I can't do it. I can't do it because, you know, if I go sit in my office and try to do that, I'll fall back asleep. If I go somewhere else in the house, somebody will bug me. If my phone's anywhere near me, somebody will text me or it will ring or something like that. And so for me, it's like, you know what? This is my way to shut everything out, and this is how I can get away and be with the Lord. Now, for you, it might be different. My wife is amazing. She can sit there for hours and read her Bible and pray, and she's wide awake. I'm not. I start reading and praying, and I mean, I might have slept all night, and you know, I've only been up for a couple hours, and then I'm nodding off again, and I'm daydreaming, and then I'm dreaming, and it's just like, I don't know. I look at her enviously, think, how do you do that? But for me, it works to run, because obviously you can't run and fall asleep. But but I can think. I can focus. I can pray. So Jesus did that. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." You know, I remember reading this a long time ago and just thinking, wow, Jesus was a preacher. That's great. You know, preachers get a bad rap generally in our culture today, don't they? But Jesus was a preacher. And that's something to be proud of for those who are preachers. We are following in the footsteps of our Lord. We're following the model that he set. He went forth preaching. And we find with Jesus, and this is the model for all ministry, we find that the preaching is the priority. And notice here, we've got the power of God, the prayer, and the preaching. All of these things are working together. And you know, whenever we lose sight of that combination of things and we just focus on only one of those things, there's an imbalance that develops in a ministry. And you know, so there are ministries that focus only on the power. And so we're a church that's into the power of God, and we want to see the power of God. And every time you come together, it's a big, you know, push for power. But there's no balance. There's no prayer. There's no word. There's nothing balancing it out. And you can do others. Some people say, well, we're going to dispense with everything. We're going to be a church that just prays. That's all we're going to do is pray. And some people say, well, you know, we're just going to preach the word. That's going to be our ministry. We're just going to preach the word. These things are all, they all go together. It's not one or the other. It's all of these things combined. And so in the ministry of Jesus, this is what we see. We see the praying. We see the preaching. We see the power of God. That's that beautiful, balanced ministry. And so he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." So Mark's telling us now the story of another healing. The healing of a leper was the primary significance of it is leprosy was incurable. At that time in history, there was no cure. There was no remedy for a leper to be healed. So here's an incurable disease. So Peter's mother-in-law had a fever. Somebody might argue, oh, well, she just had a fever. You know, she's going to get over that. But here's a man who's a leper. And as you probably have heard, the leper was, because of his condition, the leper was a complete social outcast. They had the leper colonies. You had to live in a colony. If you left the leper colony and went out, then you had to notify everybody as you were coming down the road that you were coming. You had to shout that you were unclean. Everybody had to get out of the way. And although you would think that, you know, people might have compassion, generally people were very cruel to the lepers. Of course, because they were afraid. that they would maybe contract leprosy as well. Because there was not even, and even to this very day, nobody really knows how the disease is transmitted. So here's the situation, and this man is crying out to Jesus. And notice, I think even more than the leprosy, this is what Mark is focusing on here. Verse 41, then Jesus moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. The fear that would cause the majority of people to be cruel and hateful and uncompassionate. Jesus, of course, has none of those fears. He's moved with compassion, and look what he does. He's moved with compassion, and he stretches out his hand, and he touches him. That was not only not a wise thing to do, it was a forbidden thing to do under the Mosaic law. You could not touch a leper. You would become unclean. But Jesus, of course, he touches the leper, and the leper is cleansed. So he is exempted from that, really. But, you know, think about this just for a moment. The leper was an outcast. And think for a moment, who are the outcast people in our society today? You know, there are people that are outcast. And, you know, the homeless people, to a large degree, are outcast. And the tendency sometimes is to be, you know, less than kind or compassionate to homeless people. And whoever it might be, you know, maybe there's other categories we can think of. But people who are ostracized, people who are, you know, keep them away. Let's, you know, we don't want them, you know, mixing with us. Whoever that might be. And those were the kinds of people that were drawn to Jesus, and those were the kinds of people that Jesus embraced. Now, they were drawn to him. Now, I've dealt with a lot of homeless people over the years, and, you know, there's different kinds of homeless people. There are homeless people who are in a situation, and they need help, and they will take help if it's offered to them. There are other homeless people who are proud to be homeless, and they feel like you owe them something as a reward for them doing something that you could never do because you're not as you're just not as tough as they are. I mean, I've talked to homeless people who have just looked at me and said, "You couldn't do what I do, man." And so these guys are proud that they live on the streets. They're proud that they don't have a job. We couldn't not have a job and live on the streets. That's their mentality. And they're very arrogant and so forth. So, you know, realistically, I mean, a person like that, how are you going to help a person like that? It's very difficult, isn't it? To a large degree, you can't help them. But then there's the other person, the other homeless person, who's the opposite of that, who genuinely needs help, who has genuinely, you know, because of circumstances just beyond them, they have fallen victim to these kinds of things. And, you know, sometimes we have to take the time to reach out and to begin to talk and find out what's happening. And you find that here's a soul that is responding to the compassion that we're showing. And so this person's coming to Jesus, and Jesus is reaching out to him. So I think as an example for us, you know, when there are those that would respond, we need to be there with compassion to reach out. And sometimes even initially they might seem unresponsive or unappreciative or belligerent or whatever else. And, you know, God will give us wisdom sometimes to press through and to know that, you know, there's something redeemable here. But the compassion. So Jesus stretched out his hand, he touched him, and he said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." "If you are willing, you can make me clean," the man said. Jesus said, "I am willing. I am willing, be cleansed." And he strictly, or as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, he was cleansed, and he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, Show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Back in Leviticus, I think it's 14, there was a whole ritual that was prescribed for the leper in the day of his cleansing. But again, the irony in that, there was no remedy for leprosy. But God puts in his word this ritual, knowing, of course, that there would be those occasions when he would heal the leper. Leprosy in the Bible is a picture of sin. It's a picture of sin. It's mysterious as to where it originates from, but what it does is it permeates the person's whole being, gets into their bloodstream, deadens the nerves, kills their nerves, and eventually causes their flesh to rot. Man, what a picture of sin. It's mysterious. We're born with it. And what does it do? It permeates our entire being. We're sinners to the core. And what does it do? It deadens our nerves spiritually. We become dead to the things of God, become dead to the things of the Spirit. And then there's this rotting that works itself out into our lives, and our lives decay and they're corrupted. But there's the cleansing that would come. And so Jesus says to this man, go to the priest and offer for your cleansing the things that Moses commanded. This would be, Jesus said, a testimony to them. So the testimony would be, they would come to the priest. I was a leper. I'm here to offer the offering for my cleansing. Well, what do you mean you were a leper? What do you mean you were cleansed? Well, this man, Jesus of Nazareth, he touched me and he said, be clean. That would be the testimony. And again, the parallel, of course, is when Christ saves us and cleanses us, what do? We've got a testimony. We tell people, yeah, you know, I was rotting. I was corrupted. I was decaying, and yet Jesus came, and he changed my life. He's restored me. So he commands him not to tell anybody but to go do that. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. So the man could not keep it silent. Could not contain his story about what Christ had done for him. And we've all got a story about what Christ has done for us. And you know, whenever I get opportunities to share with the Lord, most of the time, I try to start off with my testimony. You know, I just try to, you know, sometimes just in conversation, that can be such a great way into a deeper conversation. And you just start talking to somebody and a few little opportunities open up there, and then you can just sort of put in there, well, you know, I used to think that way, or I used to be like that, or I used to feel like that, and you know, this is what happened to me. I remember sitting with a young guy who was graduated with his master's degree in philosophy. And we got to talking, and he saw that I had a Bible, so he was fascinated about that. You know, he started going into some of the Christian philosophers like Thomas Aquinas and Augustine and, you know, all of that. And we talked a little bit about that. And I said, well, you know, and I just started to launch into my own story about, you know, where I was before and how I met Christ and what he'd done in my life. And, you know, I might not have been able to sit there and go back and forth with him on philosophy, but I could share my story. And that's what this guy did. He just went out and spread it abroad. I was a leper, and now I'm cleansed. So God help us. You know, we've got a world out there that's oppressed by the devil. We've got people that are, their lives are destroyed by sin, and we've got the remedy. God help us to speak up and reach out and let Jesus be our example and let him work through us. Amen. God bless you.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Mark in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part one of New Wine. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Power of Christ Over Satan and Sickness. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BBM121. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Broderson. Also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.